Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded that by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat which for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. All right, may the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning. We'll look at that in just a few moments. Our Father, how we praise you and thank you for your goodness to us today. We thank you for your word, our Father, and speaks to us in such a practical way. This chapter that we're looking at today is certainly not exciting or anything, but it is important, and we need to realize how much we need to receive one another and to respect one another and to help one another in our daily life and in our as a church, that we would not look down upon one another and disrespect each other. Lord, may we realize that you love each and every one of us, no matter where we may be in life, and you are concerned about each one of our needs, and we just pray that you will meet the need of each and every one, whatever that might be, whether it be some problem that we never discuss, or whether it be some sickness or pain and suffering that people are going through. We do pray today for Elena that you will touch and heal her. We pray for Earl that you'll continue to give him grace day by day. We know it's an ongoing process, and we just ask you to give him the strength that he needs to keep going. We pray for Ken Weber, and as he's hoping to transfer to another home, we pray for Nancy Smith that you'll continue to bless her day by day. We thank you for the way in which you have given her good health, and pray that she might continue to do well. We pray for Jane Wagner as she has to go for this special test. We pray that everything will work out so that they can find out what her problem is and get it taken care of in the near future. We just ask you to guide and help and direct. And we pray for our church. We thank you for each and every one who is a part of this church. And no matter what our involvement might be, we thank you for each and every one. And pray that we might truly work together for your glory, for your namesake, that we might honor and magnify you, and that we would seek to reach out to those around us, as we sang a little while ago, rescue the perishing. There's so many people that are perishing, our Father. We pray that you would give us the wisdom and understanding and knowing how to reach these people with the truth of the gospel. Lord, so often we don't know what to say. We don't know how to say it. Give us grace. Give us strength. Lead us by your Spirit and give us the wisdom that we need. We pray for the Smith family and other loved ones that are grieving the loss of Harriet. We thank you for her. She lived a long life, dear Lord, and we thank you for her and her testimony. And we ask you to just bless the family. We do pray, our Father, for others that may be going through difficult times that, as I said, that we don't even know about. And we think of our country today, Lord, and all that we're facing. We think of this hearing that we watched the other day about Judge Kavanaugh. And we just ask you to bless concerning this investigation, that the truth would come forth, and that your will would be accomplished through it all. We do pray for our country. We pray for our president, for our leaders, that they would have the wisdom and understanding and guiding us in the right direction. We just ask you, Lord, to help us. We thank you that you are our God, and we do put our faith and trust in you. And we pray that we would walk in fellowship with you. I pray for a great revival among your people, our Father. The churches, so many of us are cold and indifferent and unconcerned. I pray that you'd warm our hearts. Give us a greater incentive to accomplish your will and purpose, O Lord. Teach us. Teach us what we need to know. Thank you so much, Lord, for all your love to us and for your patience with us. We do pray, our Father, for Pam's boss that had this bad accident on his bicycle yesterday. We ask you to undertake for him and restore him to health as well, and meet his needs and guide and direct in every way. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers. We pray now that you'll bless your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was thinking about this chapter And I sort of put a title on it here, Dealing with Gray Areas. You know, there's some things that are black and white, right? Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's pretty clear, right? Thou shalt not kill or murder. That's pretty clear. We know that that's wrong, okay? But there are other areas where it's not so clear. And we're talking about that here in this chapter today. Paul is mentioning that. God has his standard, yes, but he also, many times we add to the things that God has said. You understand what I'm saying? And especially, I mean, one denomination will say one thing and another church will say something else, and people have their own preferences, right? But our preferences may not necessarily be what God wants us to do. And here, in this chapter, Paul is dealing with his own day. So he's talking about meat offered to idols, things like that, and keeping certain holy days, right? The Sabbath, of course, was a big deal. And the other special holidays that the people, the Jewish people, had traditionally kept. Should they continue to do that? And these are the questions that are asked here. A number of different questions, and he centers in on two different groups of people in the church. You know, I think it's in the Epistle of Peter, he says that when we are born again, we are like new babies, right? You're when you're first saved, you don't know a lot of the scriptures. You don't know the difference between one writing and another or whatever, and you don't understand many of the doctrines and teachings, and you have to listen and grow, and you know, the baby becomes a toddler, and the toddler becomes a teenager, and then the teenager becomes an adult, right? Spiritually speaking, we have to grow. And Paul is saying here that this requires us to have a great deal of patience with one another, you know? When you're trying to teach a toddler to walk or to do some particular thing, and they're just learning, you know? You can't just force them to do something, right? And many times we as Christians, we expect somebody to come in and be a doctor of theology, so to speak, when they've just been saved. You know what I mean? And so here he's talking here about practical things. This gets down to where we live. And he starts off, he says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. He's writing to the church at Rome, right? This group of believers that are already saved, they've been there for a while, and no doubt they've grown. And now this new person comes in and says he's weak in the faith. Maybe he's just been saved out of some pagan religion or something. He doesn't know a lot. It says, you know, don't make fun of him. Don't tell him what he has to do, you know, and belittle him. Receive him. So when somebody comes in, you receive them, right? The one that is weak in the faith, receive ye. But not to doubtful disputations. You know, don't say, oh, well, we'll see how it works out. You know, he might make it, he might not. You know, he's a little bit iffy, right? And anyway, the whole point here is do not judge others. There's always the two groups, the ones who are weak and the ones who are strong. And it might surprise you to find out who Paul says the weak are and who are the strong. Sometimes we get it turned around the other way. You know, notice what he says here in verse 2. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. So who's the weak one? The one who, you know, said, well, you can't eat meat. That's, you know, that's forbidden, right? Paul says it's the weak person who has scruples about what you can eat, because God said, he told Peter, kill and eat, right? You can have whatever you like. Within reason, of course. I mean, some things I think, I don't know, skunks, maybe? Well, I don't know about that one. But anyhow, some people like rattlesnake. You know, I don't think I could quite stomach that. But anyhow, that's still a choice, isn't it? Out in Wyoming, they probably eat rattlesnake, I imagine. I don't know. I don't know. But anyhow.
Tastes like chicken.
That's right. That's what they always say. At any rate, he's saying here, you know, that we're not to judge others by what they eat, okay, or by the way they conduct themselves, as long as it's not something that is forbidden in Scripture. See, that's the way we have to come back to it. And Paul is not saying here, you can do anything you want. You know, he's not saying that. You know, because you might want to do something that's, you know, go rob a bank or something. That's not legitimate. He's not being foolish here. But he's talking about the gray areas where, you know, whether you want to have chicken or whether you want to have lamb chops or whatever, or you want to be a vegan or a vegetarian or whatever, you know. There's these different possibilities, and we should not look down on another person because of their diet or because of anything that they do like that, the way they dress, the way they look, you know. Should we make rules, you know, you've got to do this, you've got to do that? I don't think so. And Paul is saying here that we are to receive them, receive the weak, and help them to grow. And he says, don't be judging people by the things that they do. We have liberty in Christ, he says, and we should accept that and know that we have a choice we can make. As long as it's not forbidden, then we can choose to do that, right? We just have to be, you have to know the Scriptures in order to know what you're allowed to do, right? But as far as food is concerned, he doesn't put any limitations on it. And we shouldn't either. We should accept one another and respect one another in every area of life. Notice verse 3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. See? You don't despise somebody. You don't belittle them. You don't look down on them. You don't mistreat them because they're different than you are. And, you know, let's take it into other areas. It's not just eating. We're not just talking about eating. He's not just talking about eating. He's talking about whatever, you know. Whatever the difference is between me and you, we have to respect one another and receive one another and love one another, right? And get all bent out of shape because someone doesn't do everything exactly the way I do it. You see? And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. Right? That's your choice. For God has received him. All right? If God received you, then why shouldn't I? As he's the one who has the final say, isn't he? Look with me in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians. I had a mark here. Here it is. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. It says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." You see? So we're not to get hung up on, you know, celebrating Christmas or not celebrating Christmas, okay? Or Easter or whatever. That's something that is a personal choice, right? Just like back in those days, they had all kinds of special days. We have special days. And I love to pray. I love to celebrate Christmas, and I think most of you probably do. But if you don't, that's your choice, right? You can just sit at home in the dark. How about that? if that's what you want to do. And we ought to respect you for that and not make fun of you either. Okay. We each one are responsible to the Lord. He's our master. God is the one who has the final judgment call, right? And we are not to require people to do things that God does not require. You know, some people get hung up on, I know when I was growing up in some of the churches, the men had to have their hair cut a certain length. You know, if it was a little bit too long, then, you know, that's awful. That's sinful. But you show me where it says that in the scriptures, you know. I mean, there should be a distinction between a man and a woman, okay. I agree with that, and I think the Bible teaches that. We have men and we have women, and there should be a distinction somewhere. But it's not up to us to start legislating and saying, "Hey, you got to dress a certain way. You got to look a certain way. You know, you got to do a certain thing." Because if God receives you, then we have to receive you, right? And I was listening to somebody on the radio, let me see who it was. Greg Laurie, that's who it was. He's an evangelist, a pastor. And he was talking about the back when he got saved, it was during the time of the Jesus movement, you know. And these people, when they first got saved, they looked, you know, terrible. They were just hippies and everything else, you know. And but they had to come in and learn and realize what God expected from them, you know. And it takes time. So we need to be more tolerant. You know, that's isn't that a good word today? Everybody uses that. Tolerant. You got to be tolerant. People are tolerant of everybody except Christians, right? Is that it? Anyhow, let's see, verse 5, I believe it is. Oh, verse 4, actually. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? See? We are all servants of the same master, right? And one servant has no right to criticize his fellow servant, right? It's the master we're pleasing. And if we're pleasing him, then that's all that's required. To his own master he standeth or falleth. He's either accepted or not. Yea, he shall be held up, for God is able to make him stand. You see? It's God who works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. If it's something he wants to work on, he will. He doesn't need for us to go around and try to persuade people to do things that are not necessarily required. One man changes the subject a little bit from food. He's talking about days now. One man esteems one day above another. Another accepts every day the same way. He says, let everybody be persuaded in his own mind, right? It doesn't matter. Like we worship on Sunday, right? Because we say this is the day Jesus arose from the dead. Does that mean you can't worship on Monday? No, doesn't mean that at all. And I know the Jewish congregations that believe in the Lord Jesus, Messianic congregations, meet on the Sabbath day, like the other Jewish people do. And they worship the Lord Jesus on the Sabbath day, on Saturday, right? Friday night to Saturday night. And but Paul says it doesn't matter. One man, you know, desires to worship on Sunday, fine. That's when it's convenient. But you could also worship on Saturday or any other day of the week. And we are not to criticize others for what they decide to do. I know sometimes we tend to do that, but we shouldn't. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. See, this is a personal choice. Personal choice. If you regard today, you regard it unto the Lord. So, and if you don't, you still love the Lord. You're still serving Him, right? Whether or not you do a certain thing. Now, I'm not advocating that you don't come to church now, folks. You know that. I'd love to see this place, you know, running over with people. And I think that would be pleasing to the Lord. I'm sure it would. And he tells us, he says, we are to meet together, right? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Right? So we are to meet together. That's in the scriptures. So we don't have the option of not meeting together. Because he tells us to, right? But when you meet is immaterial. You can meet whenever you want to, whenever you can agree on it. And we should not look down on others for not doing that. And verse 7 says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. This is one of the things that we find about the body of Christ, the church. We are not to be individuals in the sense of being by ourselves. That's not the concept that the scriptures present to us. A person is not to stay by themselves. They are to meet together with other believers. And where they do that, that's their choice. But we are to assemble ourselves together to worship the Lord, to sing His praises, to pray to Him, to fellowship together. That's scriptural, isn't it? And I like the way we do it. I think this is very orderly. And we can do this, and but I mean, it's not the only way. There are other ways. People meet in house churches. I know in China, especially, most of the churches are in houses because of the persecution. And in other places in Saudi Arabia, you can't even let them know that you're meeting. You know, you have to, you know, it's in secret. And yet, we do need each other. So I'm trying to say. And that's what Paul says. Don't get all hung up on what somebody looks like or what he does or what he eats or what day he keeps. Let's love one another. Verse 8, for whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. You see? And he's the one who has the final say. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and the living. See, he is Lord. We worship him And however he leads us, we should follow. He's the good shepherd. We follow him. We're his sheep. And we need to walk together with him as he guides us. So he goes on talking about this, and he says down in verse 11, as it's written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. See, we don't need to give an account of ourselves to each other. We need to give account of ourselves to God. See, he's the one who is the perfect judge, you know. We don't know all of the ins and outs of a person's life, and we can't judge one another in that sense. In fact, he tells us not to judge one another. We are to work together to bring glory to his name, and to realize that we will have to give an account. So there he says in verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Don't do it anymore. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. See, that's our responsibility, is to make sure that we help people rather than hinder them, that we don't cause them to stumble, setting a bad example before someone and causing them to stumble. Then he goes into this a situation about when someone else thinks something is wrong, you don't think it is, right? But you cause that person to do something that he feels is wrong, and that wounds his conscience and causes him to lose his fellowship with God. That's the problem, you see. That's like this matter. I don't want to bring up a too touchy of a subject, but I guess I will anyway. Social drinking, is that wrong? Is that right? What do you think? Some people say, absolutely not. You don't touch it. You can't put a drop of liquor in your mouth, that would be absolutely wrong. Right? I think that's the prudent way to go, and that's the way I go. I don't drink alcohol. But the scripture doesn't say that a person cannot absolutely drink wine. They did drink wine in the Bible times. And I'm not advocating it. And I think we have a lot of other things that we could drink in place that would be a lot safer. And certainly I'm not trying to persuade anyone to do it. But at the same time, we don't need to be upset with people because they have a different viewpoint. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay, I know I'll probably get myself in trouble before it's over with. But it says in verse 15, if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, that is in love. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. So in other words, what I'm saying is that if you think it's okay to drink a glass of wine or something, and you cause someone else to begin to drink with you, then, and they become, you know, drunken and do things that they shouldn't do and that kind of thing, you cause them to sin, then that's not good. That's not good. That's one of the reasons to absolutely, I think, abstain from it. You don't want to lead somebody down the wrong pathway. And don't destroy somebody with what you think you can do. In other words, it's not worth it. He's talking about food here. It also says in verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. See? That's not the purpose of the kingdom of God. but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, you see. That's the important thing, that we emphasize the kingdom of God as being a spiritual place where we can serve the Lord and have His righteousness and peace and joy. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. There it is right there. You see? So he's saying that we should be considerate of others and their scruples, and don't say, hey, I've got a right to do as I please. You know, you can't tell me anything. You know, it doesn't matter what that means. That's not the right attitude, is it? We're supposed to be concerned about others and be willing. Paul says here, let me see where it is. Verse 20. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eats with offense. If you offend someone else, you see, then it becomes sin. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. See? We should limit ourselves and not cause others to fall into sin. We need to be sure that we're not offending someone else. I have another reference here in 1 Corinthians. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. It says, take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? You see, you can ruin his life, his testimony. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. He says that's when it becomes sin. When we insist on doing what we want to do at the expense of others and cause them to fall, then it becomes sin. So we have to be very careful. And there's a fine line there. The other one is in chapter 10, verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So this was Paul's philosophy. He says, I don't want to do anything that's going to hinder someone from coming to Christ. Or we could say in the case of a believer, we don't want to do anything that's going to hinder him from living for Christ, serving him. So all of this comes together. And I lost my place. Yes, here we are. So he says, don't judge others and don't tempt others to sin, because it can ruin their lives. Verse 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Okay. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that which he alloweth. So he's saying, don't judge others for what they do, and be careful not to offend others in what you do. Because the main thing is that we are seeking to help people to know Christ and to follow him. And if we have to limit ourselves in certain areas to do that, then we should. This was the philosophy that the Apostle Paul went by. He said he didn't want to offend anyone. And certainly that should be our main preoccupation as well, that we might be helpful to build up people rather than tear them down, right? In whatever way it might be. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts today, this practical lesson that we've seen before us. We pray that you'd help us to understand and to put it to practice in our life. May we love you and serve you above all else and please you in the things that we do and seek to be a help one to another, that our Lord Jesus Christ might receive all the glory and that we might be able to advance his cause in this world in which we live today. May your holy will be done, O Lord. We'll thank you for it and give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.